Thank you for tuning into Hey Strangeness. The strange conversation you were about to hear was recorded in September of 2022 for a separate project which, sadly, never took shape. While sorting through some of my old files, I stumbled across this interview and, after consulting with Jeff, decided it would be a waste to leave it on my hard drive collecting dust. We talked about the history of Strangeology, Jeff's design process, the incredible community that we both love being a part of, and much more. Please enjoy this very special Strange Conversation with Jeff Foran of Strangeology from our archives, and stick around after the show for a preview of our next episode. Well, anyway, speaking of interviews and stuff, I know you and I have talked about this before, but for the purpose of this interview, this article, tell me about like the birth of Strangeology.
Yeah, so Strangeology kind of came into existence as just like a hobby. I had gotten laid off for my long-term graphic design job that I was at for 12 and a half, 13 years. And it was the beginning of the pandemic and everything was locked down, didn't have anything to do. And I was talking to my fiance one day and I was like, hey, I think I'm going to start like an Instagram page and just kind of like post about cryptids and aliens and all this like weird 40 and stuff. And she was like, yeah, do it. And I was like, okay. So I'm going to do it. And it just kind of started off as, you know, posting memes and that kind of thing. And just asking questions to like the audience that was growing. And it was really kind of interesting to see like the first few months, just like this rapid growth of people that were coming on board and wanting to see what I was doing and see what I was posting. And it was kind of like a funny juxtaposition compared to like the previous experience of having a social media for a project, like a band. I've been in bands for many years. My current band has been around for almost a decade. And like having social media for that, it's like a real slow going thing. Like unless you're just turning and burning and constantly touring and stuff, which, you know, that's not something that we do, but it was kind of funny. It was just funny. It was cool to see, like, you know, this new project that I was taking on, getting this kind of following. And I, at the time, I had no idea what I was really doing with it. I just wanted to get out there and talk about weird stuff. And, you know, I'm sure I've mentioned it to you before, either on when you came onto my show or just in conversation, that like I grew up as a kid that was into Fortiana. Yeah. I loved stories about Bigfoot, UFOs and aliens in particular. I would alien abductions were probably like my biggest fear as a kid.
Really?
for some reason, I always kept going back whenever there's like a new TV special on about like Area 51 or Roswell, or like they're talking about like communion with Whitley Strieber and like that kind of stuff. I was terrified to watch like Fire in the Sky until I was about 30 years old.
No kidding. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know,
I mean, I get it. Like that's a horrifying concept, but that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And like when I was in sixth grade, I wrote a report on Nessie and how I thought that maybe it was like a surviving species of plesiosaur. So nice. There's like, you know, 11, 12 year old Jeff out there talking about cryptids to people who like are like, oh, this kid's weird.
No, man, you've been preaching the truth for decades.
Yeah, right. So yeah, you know, like Strangeology kind of just started getting this following, and I decided to do some more like informational type of posts. So I would do these type layout carousel images. I'm not sure if you ever saw any of those early on, where I would pick a cryptid and I would do the research and then I would do like a write-up. It was kind of like a blog post but in an Instagram format.
Yeah.
And I've tried to kind of transcribe some of that over to my actual website blog, but I only made it so far, and I don't think I've updated that blog in like 3 months, so it's hard to keep up with
everything. I mean, when you're running a million projects at any given
yeah time. Dude, I think I need to start hiring people. I don't know. But yeah, and then eventually I get approached by a fellow person in the community who had a merch line. And I had posted a comment somewhere once that I was like, oh yeah, I'm just like doing this for fun. I recently lost my job and I'm just trying to pass the time until the next thing. And this guy reached out to me. His name was Tim O'Brien from the National Introvert Society. Hmm. I think Jeremiah Bigfoot Society interviewed him once, but he kind of like fell off the face of the earth. I think he went off and did something else. I don't know, but
okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm not familiar with him. So.
Yeah. He like messaged me privately and was like, hey, like, I see that you do graphic design and you're talking about like cryptids and stuff. Like there's a really passionate community here. Maybe you should think about, starting a merch line or something. And that was kind of something that was on my radar anyway. I was reaching out to the community that I was building and being like, hey, would anyone want to have like a Strangeology t-shirt or something? And everyone was like, yes. Yeah, so it kind of like the whole merch thing kind of sprung from that. You know, I had someone who is giving me some guidance on how to get started with it on like Etsy and some other platforms to basically like sell my artwork, which was really cool. And then kind of, you know, build it into the brand of Strangeology, which it was like becoming a brand. So eventually, like, I was like, okay, like, so this is kind of turning into a little bit of a business. I need to register it as an LLC with my state and stuff. So it's like Strangeology is like an official, like, licensed business or whatever.
It's a corporation.
Officially. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool, man.
So I don't know how many people know that, but yeah, it's kind of become like my full-time gig at this point. Like occasionally I'll take on freelance design work. Like I was doing some band posters for bands and stuff like that. I've got a buddy that I make YouTube thumbnails for, he has like a music project that he does. And he's like, hey, Jeff, can I throw you some bones here? And if you can make, cause he doesn't do graphic design. So mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, man, I'll help you out.
So it it started as like a blog and kind of like organically blossomed into this like brand, it seems like.
Yeah. Wow. It's been a weird and interesting journey so far. And then I really loved getting like doing like deep dive research into different topics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, most of the people that I had come to know and become peers with and friends with through this Instagram community, they all had podcasts, and I was like, well, I want to do a podcast too. And it seemed like the perfect platform to do these like longer form research episodes. And eventually I had it in my mind that I wanted to bring on people in the community for interviews, such as yourself or, who else have I had on the show, like Mothboy Matt?
Yeah, and people, everybody. Like
yeah,
I remember before you and I really got to know each other, I heard your interview with Nick Valenzuela, and I was like, man, both of these guys are so smart. So,
oh my god, Nick's great, dude. He's like a walking encyclopedia. He was my first interview. Originally, it was supposed to be Matt, and then he had to bail because he had like, I don't know, some personal conflicts going on, I think.
Mothboy shit.
Mothboy stuff. And just scheduling conflicts, and it just didn't work out. So I reached out to Nick, and he was like, yeah, man, I'll totally come on. And he had recently come out to Vermont to do some filming for an episode of I'm pretty sure it's the same one of the Mysteries Decoded on the CW.
Yeah, because he was filming talking was wild.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I can't really talk about it much right now, but it'll be out like sometime next year.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to hear. And he's like, if I'm ever out in Vermont again, man, like let me know. We can go get a coffee or something. I was like,
yeah, he's a cool guy. Yeah,
he's awesome. But yeah, no, it's been a really cool experience so far. And it's just like, it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
That's awesome, man. It's really inspiring to watch. Cause a lot of us obviously would love to do this stuff full time. So, you know, the way you've done this is really inspiring.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. That'll be in the article, but so let's see, you offer a ton of great stuff for free, but you also have a really active Patreon. So what is the rest of the world missing out on?
Okay, so my Patreon, obviously, like, maybe not obviously, man. I don't know. So, like, I'll just talk about, like, the benefits. So there's 6 different tiers, and, like, each tier you get more and more stuff. But the biggest thing is that Patreon members get early access to episodes. I try to get an episode posted over on my Patreon like 2 days before it airs publicly. And then there's also access to the bonus episode extension called Strangeology Beyond, which is a sometimes it, like a whole episode itself, like when you came on the show, like we talked.
Yeah,
like
we talked
one
for
of
a
the
while.
Longest episodes I've done, I think.
That was a fun
I
one,
think yeah. I think like you and Amanda Paulson from Pretty Effing Spooky, I think, are like my longest interviews.
Oh, nice. That's a good club to be in. I'll take that.
Yeah. I love it. And like I had Alex Petikoff on like a few weeks ago, and man, that dude can talk about. We could have kept going. I had to like kind of cut it short.
He's an encyclopedia. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. He knows his stuff for sure. But a lot of cool stories. But yeah, so like early access to episodes and also access to extra bonus extensions. Eventually, like if I can ever like fit it into my schedule, I would love to do like maybe like one or two like other mini episodes that are just Patreon exclusives every month.
That'd be cool, man.
Maybe do like something like B-list cryptids or like lesser known
lesser
known stories, hot chaff type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just wild in the schedule right now. Like Milo's in preschool and we've got another kid on the way. Right?
I know. Congratulations, by the way.
Like, you too, man. You too.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. Strangeology has a very distinctive style. Like I'll see things sometimes when I'm shopping just at other places and I'm like, that somebody ripped off Jeff's style. Like you have a very unique brand that's super recognizable.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
It's what can you tell me about the process of developing that? Like, has it always been green? Was that, you know, just, I love your aesthetic.
Yeah. So the logo that I actually designed for Strangeology, I designed it. I want to say I designed it in like 2019, just as like I had this like idea in my head to, I was just like messing around in Adobe one day, and I just like put this thing together, and it didn't have the name Strangeology on it. It was just kind of like this little like logo stamp. And when I started Strangeology, I was like, I need a logo for this thing. I was like, wait a second, I made this like cool like thing with like Bigfoot on it, and I kind of repurposed it, and that became the Strangeology logo. And it was always black and green. It just felt right. Because green always kind of to me signifies things can be like spooky or weird. Like you think like Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Like Ecto Cooler and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Goblins and shit.
Yeah. Exactly. So it seemed to kind of fit. And like green isn't really like my favorite color in the world. I'm more of like a, gosh, I don't know. Growing up, blue was my favorite color, but as I got older, I think I kind of became more of like a black and tan, like kind of color palette type of dude.
So,
that's kind of, so there's obviously black in the logo, so it kind of ties it all together.
It all fits. Yeah. I threw that color question in there just like, this will be fun. So you put out a lot of designs. I'm always blown away by your body of work, but have any of the designs you put out really like surprised you or subverted your expectations with how well they've done?
Oh God. Yeah. The Mothman. Yeah, I know, dude. The Mothman Harbinger of Doom design that I did has been my best selling design. It's really kind of like blown up. It's like a bestseller on Etsy and other platforms that I sell it on. And also the what are some of my other the Fresno Nightcrawlers design I have that says everybody gangsta, start walking. That
I
one's
see
like
that
a big hit. And the Flatwoods Monster design that I just released, like the day that I put it up on my Etsy shop. It was before I even made a post about it on Instagram. Like someone bought it within like an hour of me putting it up. And I was like, what the fuck?
You got following, man.
Yeah. I was like, oh, geez, I should have made a Braxy design earlier. Like I have one that's part of like the Home State Cryptids collection, which I actually like updated. The original design was just like the green print with the white lettering, but then I was like, I need to put in like the red face on there, so I updated it. It's just funny, like that one hasn't really done all that well in terms of like people picking up one for themselves, but the like the full color like cryptid event encounter aesthetic that I have going on for that line, it's just like, yeah, people are like, hell yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So it's such great stuff, man. I think I've told you this before, but your Mothman Harbinger of Doom picture was my phone background before I even met you. Like
what?
Before I was following you on Instagram, before I even got into this shit, I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then a couple years later, I was like, holy crap, it's that guy.
No way. That's funny. Yeah. other people like on the internet elsewhere in the world have like stolen that design more times than I can count.
Yeah,
on my hands,
dude.
And fingers. Like
it'll come up sometimes in like my Facebook populated ads, and I'm like, oh cool, Jeff. That's not Jeff's shop. What is this bullshit?
Yeah. Easton reached out to me like the other day, and he was like, sent me a link to some weird site that I'd never heard of. He's like, hey, like someone's like selling my stuff and your stuff. I was like, oh geez. Yeah. It's really hard to keep up with. I almost at this point just ignore it because you can like file like DMCA claims and stuff, but a lot of the time it's more time than it's worth, I think. Like I've seen people on Etsy rip off the design, Amazon, wish.com. There's some weird Russian site that I like saw, like people will periodically reach out to me and send me messages, and they're like, hey, is this your design? I think someone's like stealing your art. And I'm like, here we go again.
Wow.
But yeah.
Maybe that's how you know you've made it, when that many people are ripping off your stuff.
I guess so.
That's the same problem that Sam Sheeran and Brett Manning have, just for example.
Yeah, for sure. It's an uphill battle, I would say.
Yeah. So you've packed a bunch of really good like tips and anecdotes into this already, but what kind of advice would you have, if you have any that you care to share, for other creators in the community or people thinking about launching their own podcasts or their own blogs or whatever the case may be?
Yeah. I would say if it's something that you're truly passionate about and something you love, just do it. There's a wealth of knowledge out there. There's people that you can meet and connect with to help better your craft. You don't have to have a $400 mic like this one right here.
You're a professional.
you can just get started. Like there's podcast services like Anchor FM that are free, and you can, I think you can instantly monetize them. I didn't go with Anchor. I use Simplecast for my podcast platform, which I've thought about like switching over. I got to do some more research, but
I'm using Anchor only because it's easy. I found one that was free and easy and I had stopped doing research.
It's a fine platform for sure. It was affordable. It's like $15 a month, and they have higher tier plans that I'm looking at upgrading to since the show is like growing. It's something that I think most people, anyone can do. You don't have to be as wild as me, who has a website, blog, an Instagram, a TikTok, a Facebook, a Twitter, podcast, and all that stuff.
Merch line.
Yeah. I'm all over the place. You don't have to make it that intense, but, I just say if someone wants to do it, I think, you just do it. And at least in my experience, it's kind of like the mantra of if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. And eventually people love hearing about this kind of thing, and having new and different perspectives is a really important part of the community. And having different voices is awesome. So I say, everyone out there, start a podcast.
Love that, man. No, that's awesome advice. Sarah and I were talking about this earlier, and I was like, you know, if you're a nice person and you like really put your heart into this work, people are going to notice it. Like, you know,
I should also add, like, you know, like, you got to be nice to people. Gatekeeping is kind of not the best way to go about doing
it's
things.
So gauche. It's so outmoded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gatekeeping is so 19th century. Yeah. last but not least, my friend, what is next for Strangeology? If you have any projects you'd like to tease or.
Oh gosh. I think just doing more episodes, trying to get some more high profile people to come on as guests. I recently have started looking into and also being approached by sponsors for the show.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting. And I'm trying to like read about like the best way to approach that from, you know, my angle as is like questions to ask and like what do I need to do or provide from my end and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I got this.
Congratulations on all of it.
You know, other future stuff, like if I ever get more free time or I can clone myself, I'm trying to do like more stuff on YouTube as well. I have this Northfield Pigman video that I started doing last year. And
yes,
I remember you talking about it.
Yeah.
I got this drone for Christmas that I need to learn how to fly still. I put it in a box somewhere when I moved my office into this room. Now I can't find it, but I want to go up to like the Devil's Washbowl, which is where allegedly the Pigman lives. It's like two towns over from where I live.
Oh, yeah.
And go up there and do some drone shots and maybe retake some of the B-roll, because I wasn't using, I got this gimbal for my camera, but I didn't have it set right. So it was still like a little like jiggly and stuff. So yeah, like I'm hoping to do like some more like on the ground type of investigation and content creation to go along with that as time permits. Cause you know, we're all so busy these days.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you again for tuning in to Hey Strangeness. You can find all of Jeff's designs on his Etsy store at etsy.com/shop/strangeology and on Instagram and TikTok under, of course, Strangeology. Since this interview, Strangeology has grown by leaps and bounds, so be sure to check out Jeff's work and stay up to date. Before we go, we've got a sneak peek of our next episode for you. I hope you enjoy it.
Because the paranormal has been a part of The Simpsons since the very beginning, specifically regarding cryptozoology.
Season 1, Episode 7, The Call of the Simpsons. The family goes on an RV trip out into the wilderness.
It's such a good episode.
It's so good. We rewatched it a couple nights ago. They lose their RV. Homer and Bart get lost in the woods. Homer gets covered in mud and is mistaken for Sasquatch, or Bigfoot. They call him Bigfoot in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it spirals from there. Like, you know, people show up to try and capture him on video. It goes in the tabloids. Marge is like, that's not Bigfoot, that's my husband. And the next headline.
I love it, the National Enquirer. Well, it's called National Informer, I think.
Informer,
but
yeah.
They're just making fun of National Enquirer. God, I used to love reading those at the supermarket.
Oh, they're so much
fun.
She
would never, my mom would never pay for it. For me, but
I know.
Look, as she would grocery shop, I would like flip through.
I would see those, and my parents would be like, "You don't need that. Don't mess with that." But now I'm wishing, like, I mean, I'll never regret buying Star Wars action figures because I still have all of them. But sometimes I wish instead of buying Star Wars action figures, I'd bought like copies of Weekly World News. I think there's a street cat outside the door. Just. Okay, well anyway, be sure to follow Hey Strangeness on Instagram, and this upcoming Tuesday, June 27th, you can check out the new film, The Dogman Triangle, Werewolves in the Lone Star State, which, I know, it's got some guy in it. Shannon LeGros is in it, which is great, and there's some other guy, from Small Town Monsters, and that will be available on Amazon, Vudu, and at shop.smalltownmonsters.com. In the meantime, stay strange. That's a good sign off. Should we go with that? I might keep that.